Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY 2024-25 earnings conference call of Stark Limited, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY25 earnings conference call for Stark Limited. From the management team today, we have Mr. Amar Sarin, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rajeev Trehan, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Rajendra Singh, Finance, Mr. Ankush Vijayan, Investor Relations, and Mr. Vikas Sharma, Sales. I will now hand over the call to the management team for the opening remarks, post which, we can start the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Amar.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the investor call of Stark Limited. This is our first investor call, and please allow me to brief you all about the organization. Stark Limited stands at the forefront of luxury real estate development, committed to being inspired by India and crafting unparalleled living experiences. Stark is dedicated to delivering exceptional quality to all our discerning clientele. The company is focused on luxury residential developments in New Delhi and Gurgaon, and is backed by a robust portfolio of prime land parcels. At Stark, we have built an organization with professionals from across the industry. The first half of the fiscal has been very exciting for Stark, with our pre-sales number totaling to 1,332 crores, a six-time growth in the first half of fiscal over previous year, which gives us enough arsenal to reach our guidance of 5,000 crores for the fiscal. We have launched three projects with revenues of over 7,500 crores, and I must say the market response has been exemplary, which demonstrates faith of our esteemed customers in Stark. An update on Stark Tripundra was our first project, which was launched, which is a luxury development in South Delhi near the airport. We launched this project in October of 2022. We have sold over 80% of our inventory. Our construction is at the final stages, and we are looking to apply for our occupation certificate within the quarter, last quarter of this financial year. We expect revenues of roughly 1,000 crores from this project. The second project that we launched was Stark Kailasa, which was launched earlier this year. This is a development with high-rise in central West Delhi, with approximately 400 apartments. We have already sold 45% of the project. The total revenue of this project is roughly 4,000 crores. The latest launch that the company did was Stark Ishwa, which is our project in Gurgaon. We have a total of 385 apartments in this development, and the current velocity for this project, again, has been exemplary. Looking ahead, while we remain focused on achieving strong sales from our launch developments, we are also excited to prepare for the next phase of our growth. We are gearing up with a new series of luxury residential developments in Delhi and Gurgaon in the near future. As of 2024, the Indian real estate market is poised for continued growth, driven by a combination of economic activity, urbanization, and favorable government policies. The Indian luxury real estate is experiencing robust growth, driven by rising incomes, growing affluent population, and increasing urbanization, creating strong demand for luxury residential development. As well, the accumulation continues, the luxury market remains resilient, with a promising outlook for growth in the coming years. Thank you. That was introduction of TARC and our expectation of the market. I would now like to open the dais for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyansh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question is regarding the debt side. So the debt I can see in your books is around close to 2600 right now, whereas 2 years back it was around 1300. So how has the debt mounted to such high levels when the company has not made any acquisitions and there has been no disclosures regarding any new debt apart from the refinancing of the old NCDs? And secondly, could you please provide some further insights on the company's major sources of standalone income, particularly with respect to the transactions between the company and subsidiaries?
I'll take the first question and I'll Mr. Rajesh Singh take the second one. As far as our debt is concerned, I think there's some miscalculation from your side. The total debt on the company is roughly between 1600 and 1800 crores. We have not taken any additional debt. And whatever debt we have taken, we have made full disclosures of that. The recent development that we had was when we refinanced our NCDs, which were with Bain Capital, through Indian banks and NBFCs, which was concluded in the last quarter. So our total debt still stands at that level.
Yeah. Okay. So then,
and this transaction, we have completed a transaction of refinancing in the month of September, wherein out of 1800 odd crore rupees, 1000 crore rupees have been refinanced through Indian banking system. There is a group of investors which includes bank and NBFCs. By this transaction, the company is going to save a good amount of interest costs, and it is going to help bring the bottom line in a healthy shape.
Okay. And if you could just tell me about the second part. My second question was if you could just provide some insights on the company's major sources of standalone income, particularly in respect to the transaction between the company and subsidiaries.
So basically, when this refinancing was initially done in 2022, there were loans, which were the outstanding from various NBFCs and banks. Those loans were paid through the, financing from NCDs. So whatever NCDs were used, the amount was used to repay the loans of the subsidiary companies. On that amount, the company is taking an interest, equal cost of interest, which we are paying to the Bain Capital, the investor. So that income comes in the, from the subsidiary company to the parent company. And in the consolidation of accounts, it gets just knocked off. So that is the income which is there in the standalone balance sheet. And there is no markup on that.
I think you were given a disclosure to SEBI that NCDs were not issued to Bain Capital at an interest rate of 6% in 21. Whereas now on the latest press release, you have disclosed that you did a refinancing of NCDs to reduce interest rates, and the new interest rate is around 12.75%. So how do you justify this?
The debt that was taken from Bain Capital in form of NCDs, the coupon rate was 6%. The total rate was around 17%, 17 or 18%. So that has been reduced to 12.75% now. If you see the full document, the rate is at a higher cost of 17 to 18%.
Correct. So basically, there was a redemption premium which was supposed to be paid at the time of redemption. The cost on the company was 6% only on an annual basis. So whenever we have redeemed the redemption debenture, there is a redemption premium equivalent to 12.2%. That is how the cost is being saved from 18 to 12.75.
Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saksham from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I need to ask two questions, primarily on the visibility and the pipeline. First, given the company's land bank of 500 acres, what portion of it is developable and how many years of visibility does it provide? And second question, the presentation mentions three new projects. What is the projected GDV of these projects? Will any of these will be launched in FY25, considering the company's guidance of 5,000 crores of pre-sales, of which only 26% have been achieved in the first half of this fiscal year? That's from my end. Thank you.
So out of the total land bank that we have, we had earmarked three projects that were launched in the last 18 months. We are also in the process of launching our three projects, like you said. And I would say half of the land that we have at the moment is developable over the next 5 to 7 years. And as and when the city grows and more, better government policies come in for the other land parcels, they will come in due course of time. We have given a number of 5,000 crores. We are very confident of achieving it from our existing projects. And if need be, we will launch another project, so to say, in the next 3 to 4 months. And the next three projects that we have spoken about are either in New Delhi or in Gurgaon. And as we feel comfortable in terms of our cash flows, in terms of the bandwidth the team has, we'll keep launching these projects.
Sure. Any GDV guidance for these three projects that you can provide?
Like I said, we are not sure of which project is coming first, but your projects are going to be similar size to the projects that we have already launched.
Oh, got it. Thanks. That's from mine. I will join the queue for the further questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Kapil from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My question is how many flats are in Ishwa, and this first question. Second, how many phases are you planning in Tark Ishwa, and what is the size of this land parcel?
Thank you, Anuj. So Ishwa, we have a total of 386 units. As we speak, we are the sale is happening at a very good pace. We've already sold maybe 40 to 45% of our inventory here, and looking forward to continuing the momentum here. The size of the land is roughly 7 acres over here. Did I miss out any of your questions?
No, sir. That is fine. Sir, my another question is near to your Ishwa project, there is also a company which is providing the ultra-luxury project that is called Silver Glades. So they are into Sector 59 with a land parcel of 11 acres. So Gurgaon is selling like a hot cake right now, and also we are doing very good sales. But Tark is having so much branding and all the things. So Silver Glades has managed to sell around 80% of their project. Somewhere, sir, are we lacking something, or we are saying that the sales is happening in next one quarter and we are reaching to that target?
So, Anuj, I would like to comment on another project, but as far as Tark is concerned, our sales strategy is focused on acquiring, end users. And for that, all our projects, we have built experience centers and sample apartments to attract customers who are, end users. Our strategy usually is to sell 40 to 50%, within the 6 months of a launch. And then, keep the momentum going. You know, we focus a lot on design. We focus a lot on curating, you know, special kind of amenities as well as, you know, design in our project. So I think it's genuinely that we like to give credit and respect to a project. If we need to sell, you know, project of 80 or 100%, I think it's very achievable. But the idea is to sell to as many end users as possible. And we believe that is the right way to sell a project.
That's correct, sir. Absolutely. And we have visited the experiment center. It's superb. That is really good. So my other question is how long we are coming up with the Kailasa 2.0? So are we doing any sales on that side also?
Absolutely. So as we speak, we are enhancing our experience center there. We are looking to, we already started, you know, with some special interest in this, in the second, as we call it, Kailasa 2. We started with collecting our EOIs, and I think we will be in full swing in for our sales starting January. Once our experience center is ready, the enhanced experience center, we already had one there, but we are just enhancing and, you know, making it a little bit bigger. So January is when we are looking to start the sales for the project again.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Sabu from Choice Equity Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so you spoke about receiving around 300 crores as compensation. So any idea like when will this amount be realized? And would this amount be used to repay debt? And also secondly, regarding the land bank of 500 acres, how much, I mean, do we see it developing in the next 2 to 3 years? And also, are we planning to monetize any part of this 100 acre land to repay and bring down debt? If you could please, you know, give some guidance on this.
So the compensation that has to be received by the company, it's in various stages of, you know, I would say acquisitions that have been done, you know, of the properties of the company. And we are expecting these compensations to come within the next 1 year, I would say, from now. This money is predominantly going to be used for paying off our debt. That is the strategy that we are following. And the second question that you had, like I said earlier, I would say around 200 acres of this total land bank will be used in the next 3 to 5 years for our developments. And whatever we feel that is not going to fall in our scheme of things of residential or luxury development is something that we look at monetization. We did, you know, a similar transaction that we did in 21 with Blackstone. That was again, you know, warehousing, which we didn't feel that was falling in our scheme of things. So we monetize that land. And similarly, going forward, if we think something is not going to fall, we will again be monetizing those assets.
Okay, thank you. That was insightful. But also, could you give us some kind of line on the monetization of this 200 acres of land? Or have we received any interest, you know, from any other property or potential business to buy or acquire this land? The balance 200 acres.
So as our land is very prime, we get all the time for, you know, our parcels. We are evaluating. We think that, you know, it is ripe enough and we are getting full money for.
Sorry to interrupt you. Ayush, can you please mute your background? There is a lot of background noise from your side. Ayush Sabu, may we request you to please mute the background noise? Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yes, so I said, as and when we think that we have got good value for our land, we'll be, only then we will be looking at, you know, exiting these land parcels.
Okay, thank you. That was insightful.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Chandra from VTV Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Siddharth. We are unable to hear you clearly.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a small question regarding last quarterly results. Yes, the auditor has made a comment in point number 6 that company has not disclosed the information required to be disclosed in terms of listing transaction of SEBI in the financial statements of 29 subsidiary companies were not reviewed by the auditor. What is the reason of non-compliance?
Can you repeat the note, please?
Note number 6. Point number 6 of last quarter the results.
Okay, so you are referring to the 26 companies.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
So you are referring to the 26 companies which were not, actually these,
audited by the auditors.
Yeah, so basically it is not a qualification. So, by the time of the results, these audit 26 companies could not, the audit could not be completed by that time. That is why this disclosure was made. Since, this, it is a requirement of LODR that to disclose how many companies out of the old subsidies are audited and how many are not audited. So this is a disclosure regarding that. Because the audit could not be completed, that is why this note was given in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Malhotra from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Kapil.
Hi, I am Murthy. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hope all is well.
So I have a few questions here. So, one thing, in the P&L, I saw the interest cost is spiked up. Can I know the reason for that? Is that the redemption charges included in that interest cost or is it something else?
Yeah, Kapil, so this is basically because, we have reduced the, we have redeemed the debenture to the extent of 1,000 crore rupees. So as for the Ind AS, if it is like the initial debenture for 5 years, and we have redeemed them before that, 2.5 years. So whatever provisions were made for the balance 2.5 years have been reversed in this quarter. So this is not this is an Ind AS impact.
Okay, so it's like a one-off, which essentially has resulted in a spike in the interest cost.
Yes.
Okay. And how much is the debt right now, net debt? And also if you can maybe throw some light on the debt trajectory from here on. How do you intend to reduce the debt? And so how long will that take?
Total debt is around 1650 as on date. Plus, redemption payment due thereon.
Understood.
So as we have transaction on 31st December, everything was paid off. So now we are sitting at 1650.
And I think Karan, your second question, Kapil, your second question was regarding how we are looking to pare this debt down. So what we have, been able to do with the transaction with, the Indian banks led by Kotak Mahindra is that we have been able to get the total debt, which was when Bain came in, was more or less on the whole company. We have been able to earmark on two assets, which is Tak Tripundra and Tak Kailasa. So upon the development of, and as the sales happen and as the execution happens, the money starts, cash flow starts coming in, that debt will get completely paid off from there. And whatever is with Bain Capital will be paid through TARC Ishwa. So we have been able to earmark the debt on projects which was earlier only on land bank. The idea is, and the strategy and the goal of the company is within the next 2 years to become, totally debt free, and that is what we are working on.
Understood. And also, what I was looking at is, of course, our pre-sales number is pretty healthy. We have done 1,000 odd crore in Q2, H1, around 1,400 odd crore. The collections have been relatively lower, I think 90 odd crore in Q2. Can I know the reason for that, please?
Kapil, we had launched Ishwa, which was our project, only in September. So with that, we take roughly 9% at the time of EOI or the first sale. So as the project was launched, the money has just started coming in, and the entire 10% or 9% which was supposed to come in could not come in that particular month of September, but is now coming in this particular month of October. So October, November is when we are getting the collection. So whatever sales we are doing, we are now getting collections, even for the ones that have been done in September.
Understood. Okay. So is that the reason your debt quarter-to-quarter basis has also gone up, is it?
Yes, the collection could not come, so that had a little bit of impact. But we are now looking, we are getting money in the company and now looking to, like I said, over the next 24 months, the idea is to, pare it down, if not completely, to a very low number.
Understood. Got it. And lastly, when do we start booking the revenues from Tarpundra or, Kailasa? I just want to broadly understand the trajectory of our P&L account. Because, of course, I do understand, we have not been able to book revenue right now. But when do you expect to start booking it and, show the actual profitability in the P&L?
So as per the Ind AS method, it can only be done once the OC has come in and the apartments are ready for giving to a customer. We are expecting Tarpundra to get complete in the next, 4 to 6 months. The team is working, full swing to make sure that it happens as quickly as possible. We'll try and, do it by March, one phase, if not the whole project, and get a part OC and start booking the revenues at least for Tarpundra. Kailasa and Ishwa will obviously, happen only on possession. The recognition will only happen on possession of or getting the OC for these projects.
That's right.
Understood.
So since we being a listed company, we are governed by Ind AS 115. This is the strategy. This is the plan which we have to follow.
Understood. So essentially, I think so. We probably for the P&L to be in black, it will be take another 6 months at least. Is what I'm getting.
So we are hoping that this financial year, the Tarpundra project will get the OC.
Understood. Got it. And lastly, from a strategy point of view, do we also intend to get into mid market housing? Apart from the luxury, what we are currently doing. Why I would ask that is, of course, luxury segment gives you a high ticket size, but obviously the velocity is lower in that. Since we have a lot of land parcels, which, I as an investor don't know where do they fit in from overall strategy point of view, do we intend to get into mid-market?
Kapil, I think we are well poised for, the luxury market at the moment. We don't see ourselves going in any other, real estate vertical or even, mid-income or premium, at least for the next 18 months to 24 months. The idea is to stay here. I think the brand that we have, the brand that TARC has been created now, I think we are well poised for the luxury side of business, and we intend to stay here.
All right. I think that's it for me for now. Anything else, I'll come back to you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rupert.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I just have one industry-level question in terms of the pricing trend of the real estate market in the micro markets of Delhi and Gurugram. We understand that the pricing growth has been phenomenal and there is ample demand across various segments. However, given the increased competitive intensity, does the management see pricing trends moderating in the near future? And can you also talk a little about the expected velocity going forward, please?
We feel that obviously in the last couple of years, we have seen price increase from 50% to 100% over the last 2 years in certain micro markets. We don't believe that this is going to continue, but we genuinely feel that a good product, a well-designed product with good amenities, I think a good brand, sales will have the same kind of velocity that we've had. Like I said, we are not, you know, as a company, we are not looking at selling everything on day one or anything like that. We think the product and the development demands that, you know, you sell it well and to the right customer. Having said that, I think 10 to 15% year-on-year growth in terms of price is something for which a good development and a good product will keep seeing over the next 3 to 4 years. So I think on a macro level, there's enough velocity, there's enough demand in the market right now. And anyway, you know, the supply, there wasn't a lot of supply in, you know, at least Delhi and Gurgaon in the last, I would say, 7 to 8 years. So there's a lot of pent-up demand. There's a lot of demand which people are, you know, there's a lot of demand from people who have been living in, you know, older apartments in Gurgaon, shifting to, you know, newer developments with new good amenities and, you know, newer specifications. So I think there's a lot of demand where people have, you know, we've seen a lot of traction there. And in New Delhi, we see a lot of traction. You know, Delhi is predominantly a ground plus three kind of a city. So now with the high rises coming up, we see a lot of migration happening from low rises to high rises. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, at least in Delhi. And I think it's going to continue for a longer time.
That is very helpful. Thank you very much for the detailed answer. Just a follow-up, if I may. We understand that the story of premium residential sales being much faster as compared with more affordable segments in the Delhi NCR region. However, even in the premium segment, in the luxury segment, there are, you know, multiple facets of luxury. There is, you know, premium to uber luxury to aspirational luxury. Just from your experience in the industry, do you see any skewness toward either of you know, either end of the spectrum?
So, like you rightly said, you know, there's a number of you know, segments there. I think in an apartment which is, you know, 6 to 12 crores, I think there's a lot of demand there. People have made money in other asset classes, existing real estate of people, you know, that pricing has also gone up, so there's a lot of demand there. I think on apartments that are, you know, 40 crores plus to going up to 100 crores, I think it is pretty evident the market is very strong there. You know, we've all seen, you know, the kind of traction, you know, DLF has seen in their projects. I think it's phenomenal. I think, again, you know, people are buying such assets. I think there, across luxury, there is enough demand, so to say, in all factors of luxury.
I understand. That would be all from my side. Thank you again. Appreciate your answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Dhanuka from Naman Demkol. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to understand, is there any update on the commercial developments? So, in 2023, you spoke about having over 6 million square feet of ready-use commercial area where rentals are north of 200 rupees a month. And we're seeing that commercial offtake in India is the highest ever. It's like crossing 70 million square feet a year for the third consecutive year, and uptake is the highest in Asia. So is there any plan to monetize that going forward, either sell the land or develop it? And Bain Capital has also committed to invest some $7 billion in India over the next 3-5 years, predominantly in real estate. So any projects that you plan to do with them?
So, Naman, I think I have never given such a figure because we are not in commercial at all. I think there's a little bit of confusion there. And, you know, like I said, we are only doing residential, a stock, and we continue to do that. As far as Bain Capital is concerned, yes, we are talking about multiple things with Bain Capital. They have been our partners over the last 2.5 years. We share an excellent relationship with them. And we're looking at other platform deals and other things as well with Bain Capital, but only on the residential front.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Thanvi from Valentis Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So currently we have developed our own land only. Any plans for joint ventures or joint developments or any other kind of business development activities? And my second question is, sir, we are doing well on all the parameters like sales, collection, launches, etc. But our debt has gone up. So can you give a broad understanding of how debt will play out going forward? Will it continue to go up or will it come down from these levels?
Thank you, Alex. So I'll take the first question on the JD JVs. With all the projects that we are doing and the brand that we have created, I'll probably say we have, in, you know, getting a lot of proposals and offers for joint development and JV JDs. As a company, we are evaluating these. We are concentrating on Delhi and Gurgaon only. So whatever proposal coming, we understand the market pretty well. And our focus is that, you know, we get into some JDs and JVs going ahead. I think over the next 1 year, we should be signing a few. These are going to be apart from our land bank. And, you know, we are still going to be in the luxury side. So whatever is, you know, falling in that gambit is what we are looking at doing. As far as our debt is concerned, we are looking, like, you know, I was answering earlier, we are looking at, you know, getting the debt down to zero in the next 2 years from now. This is going to be, you know, majorly from our projects that we have already launched. Whatever projects we launch going forward are going to, you know, just speeden up the whole process. And, you know, some monetization on the side is also going to help in this.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saksham from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you for taking my questions again. My questions are primarily related to collections. Regarding to TARC Tripundra project, which is nearing completion, could you provide some insight into why company has received less than 50% of pre-sales collection so far? Are there any specific challenges or factors contributing to the delay in the collections? And lastly, what is the company's full year guidance or projection for the collection for FY25?
So Tripundra, the total revenue is roughly like 1,000 crore from this project. We have sold roughly 80%. We have got around 400 crore from collection for this project till date. We are looking at getting the balance on, you know, between now and possession, which is going to be over the next, you know, 6 months. There is some units to be sold. We are looking to sell those units now that the project is nearing completion. So once we can showcase our development to the customers is when we're looking to sell the balance one. So over the next 6 months to 1 year, we should be getting in full revenues of this particular project. As far as our collection is concerned for the whole year,
we have already received 50%.
We should be getting close to 700 crores additional apart from whatever we have done over the in this financial year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Malhotra from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, sorry. Thanks for giving me the opportunity again. So if you can just explain me, of course, you've mentioned, in the previous discussion and calls, that we have essentially the GDV for the 200 acre land bank is anywhere between 25 to 30,000 crore. Apart from that, the 300 acre land, which is available with us, what would be the tentative value, GDV potential, or if not GDV potential, what will be the cost or essentially the value of the current value of that particular piece of land?
Kapil, this is, these land parcels are a mix of, lands that have been approved, some lands which can be approved. Like I said, whatever we are speaking is roughly 200 acres of development over the next 3 to 5 years. The balance land is going to, in my view, going to be utilized, only after that. And, I don't think we can put a valuation to it right now because we are not sure of, what approvals they will come in and when they will come in. So it won't be right, to put a valuation on them right now. These are land parcels which maybe, still be agriculture or maybe, still zoned for another thing. Eventually, they will come into some kind of development. If they don't come, we will monetize them. So I don't think we can put a valuation to it right now.
Okay. And how much would be the potential GDV of the land bank?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. From Mr. Kapil, we are unable to hear you clearly, sir.
Sorry. So what is the potential GDV of the potential GDV of the 200 acre land bank which you intend to monetize in the next 5 years?
The projects that we are going to be doing are going to be similar size, couple of what we are doing. From our land bank, we will be launching at least, 5 to 7 projects over the next 3 to 5 years. So, that is some kind of, GDV that we'll be looking at from these projects.
Okay, so say 25,000 odd crore, is that a fair number to assume or can be less than or more than that?
Can't put a number to it. Like I said, we are still in that process of planning these projects. They are, going to be not sure of what kind of exercise we are going to be getting, but, they'll be similar.
Okay, understood. And lastly, what is the receivables which are currently outstanding, which we intend to already sold but yet to be collected from the customers?
Are you talking about all three projects or?
Yeah, all three completely related.
So we've done roughly 3,000 crores of sales till now between the three projects. And if we have collected roughly 1,000 crores from these projects, if I'm not wrong of the number.
Okay.
Sorry, 750 crores is what is already received. So the balance is what is received from this, so 2,250 to be,
And how much, And how much is the unsold inventory for us, all the three projects combined, including,
Patel Nagar 2.0?
4,500 crores is the balance. The total is 7,500 crores from these three projects, roughly. So
okay.
3,000 is sold and 4,500 is to be sold.
Okay, understood. That's all from my side. And sorry, lastly, what is the amount we are yet to spend on the construction of the three projects combined? I'm just trying to arrive at a free cash available to us.
We'll be spending roughly 2,000 crores on the construction now for the three projects put together.
Understood. That's also essentially our margins are pretty high in that sense. You know, we're doing good 60-65% EBITDA margins.
Yes.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you, Amadi. Thank you, team.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Sharma from CRT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for this opportunity. Actually, my question is when the company gives its audited financial statement, why the results of subsidiaries are always unaudited? It seems the company manipulates the financial statement or its subsidiary to manipulate results and mislead investors.
So basically, the companies which you are talking about are not, you know, various doing companies. These companies are the landholding companies. There was some, issue with the auditors. They could not complete the audit on time. That's the only reason. There is no revenue coming from these companies. Please note. So it is not. There is no point of manipulating of any number out of these companies.
Okay. Thank you.
Kapil, we don't manipulate or anything so like that. So I think that is not the right statement to make. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Nikum from AFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the execution you've demonstrated over the last couple of years. Some of my questions have been answered, but one question I had was the three new projects you are talking about, are they all on our own existing land bank, or will they are there some joint developments?
Thank you, Aniket. These are again on our land bank, an existing land bank where we are just redesigning. We are just designing and getting them under approval, and these are going to be existing land bank in Delhi and Gurgaon.
Got it. Sir, my other question was in our Gurgaon project. What is the approximate sales price per square feet that we are pricing at?
We are doing roughly 20,000 rupees a square feet.
And that's on the super built up concept, right?
Yes, on the saleable area.
Got it. All right, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajkumar Singh from Transaction Value. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is with regards to the, the company is making loss in last 1.5 years of around 235 crores. That company gives very high pre-sale numbers. So why the high pre-sale numbers are not reflecting in the financial statements of the company?
So Rajkumar, this is again, accounting perspective. We being a listed company are governed by Ind AS, and one of the Ind AS which is applicable to us is Ind AS 115. As per the provisions of that accounting standard, we can only recognize our sale at the time of handing over the project. So in the meantime, whatever is being spent by the company is going to add to the inventory on the one side of the balance sheet, and on the other side where we are receiving the money from customer is a liability advance from customers. So whenever this project will be completed in terms of the OC certificate, these sales will be recognized, and accordingly, you will see the bottom line positive. So losses are only because of the accounting standard application.
Okay, thank you.
At the same time, the company is doing a very good cash flows. We have been able to prepay our loans most of the times. And that is how the things are there. So cash flow is very strong.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for providing me the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First is, sir, what will be the GDV value of the total three upcoming projects? The second question which I have is, we are targeting a pre-sales of $1 billion in near future. So any timeline of it? And the third one is, and how much pre-sales are we targeting for FY26? I understand we are targeting 5,000 crores in FY25, but what about FY26, sir?
Okay, so as far as, you know, projections are concerned for next year, we'll be giving them out at the right time. We can't, you know, give them beforehand. So we'll be, in March, we'll be giving out for the next next year. In the near future would be, you know, I can't give a definite date, but that is the target of the company to get to one billion, sooner than later. That's the idea. And for the next three projects that we are looking at, GDV, are also, like I said earlier, is going to be in the similar, you know, similar what projects we are doing. So they're going to be in a similar, similar shape and size.
So, sir, similar shape and size, the current GDV of all the three projects, Tripundra, Ishwa and Kailasa, is around 7,700 crores. So can we assume that the GDV of the upcoming three projects will be 7,500 to 8,000 crores, similar in that range? It
will be around this number, yes.
And sir, what will be the execution timeline for them? I mean, 3 to 4 years?
Yes.
To the launch.
As and when the projects are launched, they will be completed within 4 years of launch.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, is it fair to assume, I mean, if you can't give a projection of FY26 right now, so can we assume that the FY26 pre-sales number will be higher than FY25?
We've been growing as a company, so I think, you know, that is showing the trend. But at the right time, we'll come out with the guidance.
Any tentative timelines about the $1 million USD dollar will be helpful, sir. Any tentative timelines, sir?
Can't really, you know, come up with that. But I think in the near future, we'll be there.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from BO Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
For the unsold inventory of 4,500 crores, what have we assumed as the average selling price? And what is the square feet of inventory with us?
So all the projects that we are doing are selling between 20,000 and 25,000 per square feet, the three projects that we are doing at the moment. So I would take that as a number for the per square feet sellable area for the balance.
Okay. And what is the expected timeline for the completion of all these three projects?
Within the next 42 months, we should be completing these three projects. So one project, like I said, is, you know, going to be between 6 and 9 months, and the other two are going to take 36 months from there.
Okay. What are the plans to use, you know, such high amounts of free cash flows of like 5,500 crores? Like, what do you plan?
Sorry, can you rephrase, please? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What are the plans to, you will generate a lot of free cash flows in the next 3 years, so around 5,500 crores. So how do we plan to use that? Will we be repaying our debt, or like how do we plan to use that?
Yes, so initially it's going to be used for repaying our debt, and the balance is going to be, again, you know, putting back into our business, buying new land, and, you know, executing the projects.
And how much of a land bank will be remaining, you know, after we complete these three projects and in even the three projects which we have planned, after that, how much of a land bank will be remaining with?
So it won't be, right to put acres into it because, you know, sometimes, most of the times, an acre in the city would be different than an acre in the thing. But I think we will be, utilizing, maybe 20-30% of our land value, and moving ahead, we'll be, utilizing the balance.
Right. No, so my point is, will we need to acquire more land because we will be still having a lot of land remaining, you know, even post the next phase of expansion?
So. Absolutely, we'll want to do that. We will want to, once the cash flows start coming in, they will be used for acquiring more land. There are areas that we have identified as a company, and moving forward, we will be looking at acquiring more land.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking our time and joining us. And we look forward to our next investor call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.